Greetings, friends, fellow citizens, fellow patriots, and even non-citizens, and those of you who watch us from around the globe. Welcome to this week's edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm the president of the organization, We the People Convention. This podcast, our emails, our text messages, which I hope you get, our website, which we're very proud of, our phone app, our trips around the country and state to speak to groups, our donations to other conservative groups are all paid for by the generous donations of the donors to the We the People Convention. And we thank all of you who have the means to do that and support our efforts to protect and defend your and my individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Thank you to everyone who can afford to donate to us. As you can see, our flag is flying upside down still, and that is not, for those of you who are new, that is not a sign of disrespect for our flag or our country. It is a sign, it is a warning. It's actually a warning that we are in dire distress and that we are in danger to life and property. And as you'll see during this podcast, we sure are in danger to our life and property. But most importantly, you need to understand the source of that. That is really the war we are in with the communist Chinese. This is a global war. These attacks you see in our country are not internal. They're external, funding the internal attacks. And the goal is to destroy the United States because we are all that stands in the way of total tyranny, right? And that's what this is about. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, or Marxists. This is about individual freedom and liberty and prosperity, our right to live our lives the way we want, to do what we want, and to have representative government versus tyranny, the control of the state, where the state is who we serve, and we are only pawns of the state to help them achieve their goals, the people who want to rule over us. That's the fight. That's why you're watching this podcast. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Okay, so let's just be sure about that. It's been a busy week because Ohio, we had our primary election this week, and it was brutal, and I'm going to talk about that next. But before we do, we're going to always remember the January 6th political prisoners. And why do we remember them? Because they're the canary in the coal mine. Any one of us, as Peter Navarro found out this week when he reported to jail, even while he's appealing his conviction of contempt of Congress, they put him in jail for 4 months while his appeal is going on. That's our future if we don't succeed in our efforts to restore what? Representative governance, the rule of law, and equal justice under the law. Okay? That's what's missing. And I'm going to address some of those things directly in the next few moments. So when people say, well, what do you guys want? Well, we want the government to be much smaller, to leave us alone, to let us make the decisions about our lives, and that we follow the rule of law, not men. Okay? And that's not what's happening. And we'll talk about a story next that proves this. So let's just take a minute and let's reach out and pray and ask God to give courage and strength to the political prisoners who are in prison unjustly and being persecuted by this tyrannical government, this regime that has taken over our U.S. government, and give them strength to survive this horrible situation. Some have been in jail since January 6th, practically, and without trial, like Jake Lang, our friend Jake Lang. And by the way, it's a side note, I did hear from Jake this week. He had gone missing, but I did hear from him this week. So I'm glad that he's back in communication. But anyway, join me in a prayer for the prisoners, their families, and their attorneys, and ask God to protect them while we fight to release them and bring justice to those who basically have broken our laws and unjustly attacked our fellow citizens. Thank you. All right, so I only have one story about J6 this week. Not that there wasn't other news, but in the mix of the news that affects, you know, us. In other words, what do I try to do in this podcast? I try to talk about, you know, things that do affect our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. And then I try to talk about things that you and I can do to help ourselves, to protect ourselves. So, you know, I try to filter the news, you know, not in a censorship standpoint, but to get rid of the censorship, to get rid of the lies and the propaganda, and focus on what's really happening and why it's important. I think this story was very important. Biden DOJ warns January 6th defendants may still face heightened sentences despite SCOTUS case challenging key charges. So as you, if you're a longtime listener, you know that we've been discussing this misuse of this law about obstructing an official proceeding, that the FBI and DOJ took a law that was for financial crimes and tried to apply it to the January 6th political prisoners because it was a higher level felony and they could ask for 20 years in prison like they did with the Proud Boys and some of the others. And their whole hook was that this law was about interference with official proceedings. Well, it was about the Enron case where they destroyed financial documents. And that's what it was about, is interfering with an official investigation. They said, well, the riots at January 6th interfered with official proceedings because the House and the Senate had to adjourn while the riot was going on and couldn't verify the election. Okay, and that's bogus. The Supreme Court is now looking at that, okay? And we expect that in June, they will say, this is a misapplication of this law and all those charges are illegal, okay? But when you're evil, when you're a tyrant, it doesn't matter what the law is. They knew it was illegal. This is just, remember, the process is the punishment. The process is the punishment. Just like what they're doing with Donald Trump. He's not guilty of any of this stuff. The process is the punishment. So here's what they're saying in anticipation of losing that Supreme Court case. The Department of Justice warned a January 6th defendant on Tuesday that his sentence would not be reduced, regardless of the Supreme Court's decision in a coming case related to the statute he was charged under. The January 6th defendant, Anthony Williams, asked the court in February to grant him bond pending his appeal in light of the Supreme Court's decision to take up Fisher versus United States, which challenges the scope of an obstruction statute used to charge him, along with hundreds of January 6th defendants and President Donald Trump. The DOJ warned in court filing Tuesday that in spite of the pending case and an appeals court ruling finding it's wrongly lengthened January 6 sentences by applying an enhancement for interfering with the administration of justice, it would increase its sentencing recommendations on the remaining counts to maintain the current sentencing length. Okay, the DOJ said the government's sentencing recommendations likely would be different in the absence of a conviction for obstruction of official proceedings and could include a request for consecutive sentences to account for both the severity of Williams' conduct on January 6th and for the aspects of his conduct and history that the court originally found warranted a 60-month sentence. So what they're saying is that we charge you with this in order to get the sentence raised. But if we misuse that and the court says you're not guilty of those charges, we're just going to ask the court to take the other charges and run them sequentially so that you're in prison for the same amount of time. That's not the intent of the law. That's not what the law would ask. That's tyranny. That's persecution, not prosecution. And so it's real simple, folks. This isn't going to stop until and unless we elect Donald J. Trump president, we take back the Senate and the House, and we wipe out the FBI, DOJ, CIA, deep state actors who perpetrated this coup, where they basically rigged the 2020 election to remove Donald J. Trump as president. That's what we're facing. We're facing tyranny. And so that's what we're fighting. And unfortunately, if you're one of these individuals, you know, who are being persecuted like Donald Trump, they're relentless, but they're not going to stop until we stop them. We stop them. It could be any one of us. Could be any one of us. All right. So how do we fight back? All right. Well, I think many of you were aware, because I talked a lot about it last week and the week before, that the primary in Ohio had national implications. And what I was explaining to you guys is that the rhinos and the Dems and the Marxists were coming together in Ohio to try to elect a guy named Matt Dolan to be the Democrat Sherrod Brown's opponent in November in order to build a firewall in the U.S. Senate so that if Trump were elected, that he couldn't get anything done other than executive orders. In other words, no law changes, no getting rid of the deep state, just executive orders, which is what we had last time. And as we saw, can be reversed like that. We need legislation, right? So this fight was going on in Ohio, and I called for MAGA Trump supporters to turn out because the Democrats were going to cross over. And if independent, non-registered Republicans didn't do what the Democrats did, right? The Democrats are like, I'm going to vote in the Republican primary because we want to stop Trump. We needed the Trump supporters to realize, well, I could vote in a Republican primary even though I'm not a Republican, so we can protect the MAGA agenda. And fortunately, thank God and thank these patriots, that's exactly what happened. Trump-endorsed candidate Bernie Moreno wins Ohio Republican Senate primary. And I wrote this release about that. Huge win for MAGA in Ohio. Tom Zawistowski, president of the Tea Party-affiliated National We the People Convention organization, congratulated Ohio Trump supporters who came out and voted to elect Bernie Moreno as a Republican nominee for U.S. Senate with 50% of the primary vote versus 33% for Matt Dolan and 17% for Frank LaRose. Zawistowski said to the conservative voters, "You turned out and you defended President Trump and the Make America Great Again agenda, America First agenda, by overwhelmingly electing Bernie Moreno as our U.S. Senate Republican nominee. You put Sherrod Brown and his Marxist allies on notice that we will be united in November in a way they have never seen before in Ohio. This nonsense that was being spread that Democrats were going to cross over and vote for Moreno because he was the weakest of the Republican candidates is dead wrong." That was the story that they, and some may have done that, that they were thinking, well, Moreno is the weakest, so let's elect him. That with Donald Trump and Bernie Moreno on the ticket, the Democrats in Ohio are going to be in a world of hurt, not just in the presidential Senate races, but all the way down the ticket to the dog catcher. The Ohio Democratic Socialist Party is now officially on the endangered species list in Ohio. And I believe that, and I'll explain that to you. Second of all, you defeated the Ohio Rhino establishment and finally made it clear that Ohio and the Ohio Republican Party belongs to us. Bernie Moreno said it exactly right in this quote to Axios before the election. "This is a race between America First Republican Party and the broken down Rhino establishment." And that's right. "In this primary, you defeated Rhinos Portman and DeWine and Kasich and the party elite who have been grifting off of our hard work and votes since the Tea Party started in 2009. We elected Kasich. We elected Portman. We elected DeWine with our hard work and votes, and they did nothing but betray us." Let's see here. Marino and Vance and Jim Jordan and Warren Davidson and Vivek Ramaswamy, who's from Cincinnati, Ohio, and others do not belong to that country club. They have heard from the MAGA voters, and they know that our freedom, liberty, and prosperity are in real danger because the rhinos have sold out Ohio and our nation for their own personal gain for decades. This was further demonstrated by significant wins in the Ohio House races against Democrats-funded Democrat-funded Blue 22 Republicans and a rejection of the Rhino's pay-to-play culture in Columbus. It is past time to put America and Americans first again, and that was what tonight was all about. Okay? So it was a twofold thing. They tried to build a firewall in the Senate, and now Bernie Moreno, with Trump's backing, is going to veto Sherrod Brown, and that's going to give us a Senate majority that's in favor of Trump, not a wall against Trump. Second of all, in Ohio, we finally defeated the big moneyed Rhino elites in a major election because we sided with Trump. We had a MAGA candidate in Bernie Moreno, and we won. They did what they always do. They split the vote. We had Frank LaRose, our Secretary of State, who many conservatives like, and Bernie Moreno to split that vote, and then Matt Dolan was supposed to win, just like they've done over and over. And this time we beat him. Okay? This time we beat him. Now, I want to make clear to you guys, okay, that this plot, okay, it's not just about the Senate, right? So they're doing the lawfare to stop Trump. Then they're doing, you know, this stuff, you know, to block the Senate. And you're going to see in a minute what they're doing in the House. They're trying to surrender the House to the Democrats. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I want to talk to you about the Portage County Tea Party, my home Tea Party, where I started in the Tea Party movement in 2009. I'm still the executive director of the Portage County Tea Party, but we have successfully taken over the Republican Party in Portage County, and our former president of the Portage County Tea Party is now the head of the Portage County Republican Party. And so we've kind of moved into the Republican Party, which was the plan. I always said we wouldn't need a Tea Party if we actually had a Republican Party. Well, now we do, because the Tea Party made it so. So since the Tea Party started, and I'm talking to you guys who've been involved for a long time, what did we want? What was wrong? Well, it really came down to two simple things. The people that we elected, whether it be George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., or whoever, or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, didn't represent us. We had no representation. And the second part was, we didn't have the ability to throw them out. We learned a long time ago, okay, in the Tea Party, when we started electing people like Portman and Kasich, and they completely turned on us and used us to then attack us, that we had no ability to throw them out. We learned that if you really want to have representative government, it's not enough to be able to elect someone. You must be able to unelect them. Okay? Now, I want to tell you about what happened in Portage County, because I want you to understand that despite the headlines and everything else where everybody talks about how we're not fighting and we're losing and all that kind of stuff, that's not true. And we are winning. And this Tuesday, we did something you and I have all dreamed about for 15 years. Okay? So here's what we did. And again, it goes back to the line I just read about this Blue 22. Executive Director of the Portage County Tea Party and Treasurer of the Ohio Citizens PAC celebrated the huge 20% win by Heidi Workman in the 72nd Ohio House race and the upset win by Joe Crawford in the County Commissioner's race, along with huge statewide wins by Bernie Moreno in the U.S. Senate. Zawistowski said, "I want to thank each and every patriot who showed up to vote in Portage County yesterday to send a message to both the Democrats and the Republicans that we will not tolerate the pay-to-play culture of Columbus anymore. The disgusting display of nearly 300,000 in vicious advertising by trans-Dem House Speaker Jason Stevens, paid for by the Democratic unions to re-elect Blue 22 traitor Gail Pavlika in Portage County, was totally and resoundingly rejected by the voters of Portage County. They may have been able to buy Gail Pavlika and the other Blue 22, but they will not be able to buy Heidi Workman or Joe Crawford because they were elected by the people of Portage County and not you." So what happened is we, the Portage County Tea Party, elected this woman, Gail Pavlika, to the Ohio House twice. And while she was there, the pay-to-pay culture co-opted her. And a year ago, she took money from the Democratic unions to not vote for the Republican. We have a 67-32 margin, Republicans versus Democrats, in our House. And we were going to pass this incredibly great conservative agenda like you hear in Florida and other states. And the Democrats, knowing they had to stop it, bribed 22 of the 67 Republicans to join with the 32 Democrats to get a majority to elect a person for speaker, this Stevens guy who represented them. And what did they do? They completely shut down our entire conservative agenda all of last year. So we said, this is outrageous. We need to throw you out. And so we went out and recruited Heidi Workman to say, we will not stand for you buying our representative who wasn't representing us. And so it was war. And they brought it. They nuked us. They spent, let me put it in perspective. When Gail Pavlikka won the first two times with Tea Party support, the first time she raised $14,000. The second time she raised $40,000, but we were going against a woman named Kathleen Clyde, who was a George Soros person who ran for Secretary of State before she lost and ran against our House candidate. And we defeated her with the help of some outside money. But it wasn't like it was this last Tuesday or this last election. This time, they spent $300,000, folks. It was like a congressional campaign. And we didn't have that money, though we had support from Republicans who didn't like the fact that the Democrats took their power by buying these 22 Republicans. So we had them injecting themselves in the race. But that didn't matter. What mattered was we, the people, said, we will not stand for you to buy our representatives. Okay? And then I can continue with my press statement. The message is crystal clear. We, the people of Portage County, demand that the people we elect to represent us actually represent our best interests and not those of big money special interests. The message is also clear that if you betray the voters, we, the people of Portage County, can and will throw you out of office, regardless of how much dirty money you spend in the election. Let me be clear. The Patriots of Portage County may not be the only group of voters in the state of Ohio to be able to do what we did last night, but we did it, and you should be very, very proud. And I think that others in Ohio will start to do the same thing. This is the way it's supposed to work throughout American history. The people were supposed to be able to vote out those who did not serve them. Today, hardly any elected officials represent the will of the people at the local, state, and certainly the federal level, as we will see. And other than Portage County, we the people have no ability to defeat the big money candidates. The political parties have rigged our elections by wrongly favoring incumbents, and then both political parties have sold themselves out to billionaire oligarchs or the Chinese communists or other anti-American special interests. But we in Portage County, after 15 years, achieved what we set out to achieve. We threw out someone. We unelected someone who didn't represent us. And I want to tell you that story so you can take heart that it can be done. It was just done by people just like you. And this is happening all over the country. I know that. I know that you guys are working to do the same things. But the bottom line is, we have to stop the big money from being able to win elections. And the way you do that is to make sure that people get organized, understand the issues, and vote accordingly. Even with all that advertising, we still beat them by 20%. How's that for a butt kicking? Okay? And I'm also proud of the fact that the turnout in Portage County was 20% higher than the rest of the state because of this issue. God bless every one of those patriots who came up and stood for our Constitution and showed that we can get representation if we demand it. God bless every one of you. So, as I was saying, the Uniparty, you know, is trying to stop the Senate. And then I put out this story, are RINOs and Uniparty planning to turn the U.S. House over to the Democrats? Well, this story got a lot of attention from you guys. It's from Revolver News. It's no secret that the Democrats and RINOs aren't exactly overflowing with dignity, especially when it comes to President Trump. Their fear of him and what he stands for, which is us, the people, makes them toss logic, reason, and any semblance of shame out the window in their attempts to block him, and by extension, us, from claiming the power that's rightfully and constitutionally ours. That's what I just talked about, right? That's what I just talked about, okay? What does that say about the state of our putrid government? Well, we're about to tell you. Get ready for this latest, embrace yourself. The stench of rotting RINO is about to get really strong. It is clear as day that the Dems are like the Energizer Bunny of politics. They just don't quit. But the Republicans, well, it's time to serve their true bosses. They fold like faster than Superman on laundry day. The American deep state regime suddenly finds their backbone and go to battle to stop Trump. So when the directive came down to block President Trump from making his White House comeback, RINOs were once again suited up and raring to go. They're at it again, scheming to block Trump even if and when he clinches the 2024 election. However, their brand new strategy is nothing more than a blast from the past. Remember this stuff. Years ago, during the 2018 midterms, RINOs bowed out in droves, handing over the reins of the House to Democrats on a silver platter, all so they could take a couple of swings at impeaching President Trump. The two sham impeachments, to be exact. So remember that. In 2018, many Republicans said, oh, I'm not going to run again. And they weakened our ability to hold the House, right? Trump was still president. But they didn't want Trump to be president. And they helped the RINOs helped the Democrats and the Marxists win in 18 and make Pelosi the speaker. And what did they do? Proceeded to impeach Trump on two totally bogus charges and steal the 2020 election and, you know, create the Fed's erection and do all the stuff we've been going. RINOs, Uniparty did that. So here we go again, folks. But this round, they only need a handful of RINOs to make their scheme work. Because the House Republicans majority is only like 5 votes, okay, especially now that George Santos is out of the picture. So McCarthy and his guys organized getting rid of George Santos from New York, a Republican congressman, because he lied during his election and he was a liar. But they couldn't afford to give that away, and they did. Now, RINO Ken Buck is resigning to help destroy the Republican majority. Look for 2 more to resign and give back control of the Democrats before the November election. It's all about protecting Biden now with the RINOs. Great job removing George Santos. Okay? So what's going on, folks? Well, there's been a sequence. Kevin McCarthy did it. Bill Johnson did it. Now Ken Buck's doing it. To do what? If we lose like 2 more people? Hakeem Jeffries is now in control, the Speaker of the House, and the Democrats in control. And who's making that happen? Well, here's a guy that's making that happen, because right after that happened, and I put that story out, and Ken Buck resigned, Johnson's margin drops to 1 vote as Gallagher heads for an early election, or early exit, I'm sorry, okay? Here's the guy from Wisconsin. Johnson's margin drops to 1 vote after this. Speaker Mike Johnson is about to drop to a 1-vote majority as retiring Representative Mike Gallagher has decided he will exit the House as soon as next month, according to 2 people with knowledge of the matter. In a statement shortly after the story published, Gallagher said he planned to leave on April 19th. I've worked closely with the House Republican leadership on this timeline and look forward to seeing Speaker Mike Johnson appoint a new chair to carry out the important mission of the Select Committee on Chinese Communist Party, he said. Wisconsin law dictates that Gallagher's seat is in a solidly red district will stay empty for the rest of his term until next January. That vote is gone. Why? Departing before April 9th, would have triggered a special election. So this scumbag, Rhino, okay, uniparty deep state guy, he says, I'm resigning on the 19th of April, so you can't fill the seat and get it back, instead of on April 9th, so the governor could call a special election to elect a replacement. That's not willful intent to turn it over to the Democrats. What is it? The Wisconsin Republican announced earlier this year they would not seek re-election after we received blowback for voting against impeaching Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. His allies, however, say he was long jaded by the antics of the House following the ouster of Speaker McCarthy. He's a rhino. Now we're down to one. We're down to one. It's bad timing for Johnson, who is now potentially facing a vote on his ouster in the coming weeks, as yesterday, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene filed the so-called motion to vacate the chair over Johnson working with Democrats to pass a massive spending bill. But it's unclear when she'll try to force a vote on the floor. At the moment, no other Republicans have said they support her motion. Gallagher's decision to not finish out his term also further fuels conference concerns over its trajectory headed into the November election. So this goes back to, folks, the Marxist Dem uniparty plan, Rhino plan, that if Trump wins the election and the Democrats control the House, they won't seat him. Okay? And the court just ruled in that ruling about putting Trump on the ballot in Colorado and those people, you know, trying to throw Trump off the ballot, that they couldn't do that without passing some sort of law, that the House would, states couldn't do this, the House would have to pass some sort of law to not seat Trump. But they're working towards that. They're working towards that. Now, they passed this horrific $1.2 trillion bill, and then now they're gone for 2 weeks on vacation. So Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate can't be taken up for 2 weeks. So this bill is exactly what we don't want. There's nothing in it for Republicans. That's why Marjorie Greene filed for the seat, the motion to vacate the seat of the speaker, because there's nothing in it for Republicans. It's $1.2 trillion that funds Homeland Security. It even funds the FBI's headquarters, which is their dream. They want to build this massive Pentagon-like headquarters for the FBI to show their power in D.C. And in the last, like, fall, we took that money away. Guess what? They put it back in. And Johnson just they walked all over him. A $1.2 trillion spending bill just rushed through the House of Representatives in the U.S. has enabled allocation of funding to what would have been prohibited in the past. These include earmarking money in support of censorship efforts, a U.S. central bank digital currency, and vaccine mandates, among other things. In other words, we got nothing. We got that Republicans who are in control of the House got nothing. Not even their one-third, right? He said, well, we're only one-third of the government, so why don't you get we're one-third? Where are your ass? They were no better. They were nowhere. This is just funding the border invasion. Nothing to stop the border invasion. Nothing to do anything. But here's what it did do, okay? This one Congressman, Representative Andrew Clay, put out a bunch of posts on Twitter and said, well, these things were in the bill, and then they were removed. And so, that, you know, I talked about DHS funding of censorship apparatus by the U.S. government. They were taking that money away. Like we've said, that's what you should do. Oh, that all disappeared from the bill. And here's one, you know, that just as an example. There was in the bill, none of the funds made available with this act may be used by the Department of Treasury to establish a United States central bank digital currency or discontinue circulation or use of paper currency as legal tender in the United States. Now, wouldn't we want that? Don't we tell our representatives we don't want central bank digital currency because that's the end of freedom and liberty? Because then they control your money, you don't, right? Yeah, they took it out of the bill. They took it out of the bill. And 125 Republicans voted for it. Okay? And so here's the problem, okay? This is the problem with all this stuff. The problem is that you can't fix this. You can't fix this unless we can take incumbent Republicans in Congress and the Senate out in the primaries, just like the Portage County Tea Party did with their state rep. We have to be able to do with congressional reps, but you can't because Trump won't endorse in the primaries. This is the problem. That's how we got Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney and these other people who come back and hurt Trump. We got this guy, Mike Turner in Ohio, and this other guy, Dave Joyce, who are total anti-Trump deep state actors. And I've told the Trump people, we could elect a toaster against them if you would endorse. And he won't. And so now, if we put somebody up, then they have no chance of winning because at the congressional level, the money is unbelievable. This is the problem, folks. This is a real blindside by President Trump. And we're going to pay because I got news for you. You think those 125 Republicans who in the House who voted for this, how many of them you think are going to get thrown out in November? My guess would be zero. Did Donald Trump not endorse any of them? No. Did Donald Trump, before this vote, say, any of you SOBs who vote for this, I will endorse your opponent in the primary? Nope. Okay? This is what we're up against. We've met the enemy. It is us in many ways. I'm not being unfairly critical of President Trump. We support him, man. We elected him twice here in Ohio. We the People Convention, made him president. You can debate that with me you like, but I got news for you. If we didn't do what we did in 2016 in Northeast Ohio, Donald Trump is never president of the United States. That's a fact, and I can prove it. But it doesn't matter. I'm not just someone who's going to say, just gloss over and say, this isn't a problem when it's a huge problem. And I'm not saying it to you, and I haven't said it to President Trump. I don't get to speak to President Trump, okay? The rhinos and the people he listens to, they don't want Tom Zawistowski around President Trump. That was proven again last Saturday, okay, when Trump came to Ohio. And, yeah, I was not going to get to meet him no matter what, okay, even though I play a bigger role in him winning Ohio than probably anybody else that was in that room, okay? But the facts are the facts. So I try to get the messages to President Trump that this is what you could do to really make things better, and it doesn't happen, okay? So we have to find other ways. We're going to have to find other ways to succeed. And part of it is having enough of our people to control what the rhinos do. And there are some good people. We have upgraded ourselves in Ohio. Brad Weinstrup is retiring. Okay, he's one of the ones who stepped down. We've got a real Trump guy who won the primary, a guy named Taylor, that's going to replace that seat. We're going to bring a guy named Derek Marin in the Ohio's 9th district, who's going against Marcy Kaptur, the longest running member of the House. She's been in the House for like 40 years. We're going to win that because Trump's on the ticket, and Derek Marin is going to support Donald Trump. I'm being told we lost a very important race in the election Tuesday. It was probably the biggest defeat that we had. We didn't elect Reggie Stolfus in the Ohio 6th district, and a guy named Ruley from Youngstown won. But I'm being told by his handlers that he's going to be better than Bill Johnson was and will vote with us. We'll see. So we are winning some, but you got to be realistic about the fight and the challenges we face. Okay? So then, in more congressional news, this story came out. You guys were really interested in this. Republicans talk of raising Social Security retirement age to 69. The House Republican Study Committee released a budget plan that would increase Social Security retirement age from 67 to 69 as the program approaches insolvency. And if you look at this chart that's on your screen, you can see that it's supposed to be insolvent in 2023. It's real simple. there's more people retiring as the baby boomers reach Social Security age, and there's less young people paying into the system. And now all these illegal immigrants are coming in, and people like Tyson are giving them jobs, and who's paying into the system? And so, plus we're living longer. So, you know, it, to me, something has to be done. And this article is a good summary of the fight between, oh, if you say you're going to raise, cut Social Security or raise the age or reform it in any way, you know, we're going to vote you out of office. It's like the third rail of politics. But it's ignorant, because if something's going to go bankrupt, you have a responsibility to fix it. I'm on Social Security. I know many of you are. Yeah, I'm concerned about it, because if it goes insolvent, I'm not going to get my money. They're talking about 20% decreases as inflation is at 20%. That's a 40% loss in the next 10 years. So somebody should do something. But no. Josh Hawley says, horrible idea. Totally opposed to this, Senator Josh Hawley said, of raising the retirement age, even for people who don't plan to retire soon. What a terrible idea. If Republicans want to be in the minority party forever, then go ahead and endorse that, he said. Republicans are so stupid. If they want to go to work, go to working people and say, congratulations, you have paid into this your whole life, your pay with your payroll taxes, and now we're going to take part of it away from you. We're going to make you work even longer than we said beforehand. I just think that that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Well, that's a pretty shallow assessment, okay? That's a pretty shallow assessment. What's the real answer is dependence on Social Security. I don't want to be dependent on Social Security, but they taxed us and our family business so much over our life that the money that we paid in unemployment taxes and stuff, workman's comp, I paid into workman's comp for 42 years. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that they taxed us for workers' comp, and we never had a single claim filed for our business in 42 years. If I had that money and was able to put it into the stock market or real estate or some other thing, I wouldn't be dependent on Social Security. But they want us dependent on the government. So, don't fix Social Security, right? We want to control you. Now, I know you guys may not feel the same way, but what I want is reform that's really reform, just like immigration. They talk about immigration reform, that they don't want immigration reform. They want to just give amnesty to people broke into our country. Immigration reform is, you know, meritocracy, making it so it doesn't take 10 years to go through the process, but still go through the process. And our picking who comes, the kind of people we need with skills we need, not just anybody who shows up. That's called reform. That's what they mean. They misuse words. So when we talk about reforming Social Security, they don't want to talk about, you know, having the ability to not put the money in the government pot, but put it into Wall Street. And you guys who study this know that there's been studies that show that if we would have put our money in some other private investment, we would have been better off than anything we did, because they stole our Social Security. Okay? But anyway, so they're taking tons of heat, and President Trump has said, we will never touch Social Security and all that. So I don't think it's going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen this election season, I guarantee you, because Schumer and those guys were quoted in that article. And you should go to our website and read this article. It's a semi-intelligent conversation about the complexity of the issue. But of course, the Democrats are like, they're going to cut your Social Security. You can't vote for Trump. Yeah, that's when you know your society is in danger of completely collapsing. When the people who are responsible for your future, remember that flag upside down right here? It says we're in danger to our lives and our property. Yeah, your Social Security is in danger because these political hacks and incompetent boobs aren't willing to do their job as fiduciaries and fix it when it's going to go bankrupt. Okay, and so that's the thing. You know, and I forgot to say this earlier, so I'll mention it now. What do we care if the Democrats take over the House? How would it be any different? Seriously, how would it be any different? They're getting everything they want. When the Democrats are in the minority, they still control the House. When they're in the majority, they don't let the Democrats, the Republicans, control the House. What would it matter? At this point, I don't think it matters at all. I don't think it matters at all. So as I said, Trump was in Ohio for his rally last Saturday, which made all the difference with the Marino race, because by letting people know that he endorsed Bernie Marino, he basically ensured that Marino would win, and he did that. So he said at that rally, he was talking about the auto industry. Donald Trump pulled his Charlie Brown and Lucy disappearing football trick at the rally in Ohio on Saturday. And like Charlie Brown, Joe Biden and the media fell for it again. Trump was railing against auto imports, promising 100% tariff on cars made outside of the U.S. We're going to put 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those guys if I get elected, Trump said. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, and he meant auto industry. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That will be the least of it. Is Trump really saying if he isn't elected, there will be a bloodbath? Joe Biden said so. Biden's campaign released a statement claiming Trump wants, you guess it, another January 6th. This is who Donald Trump is, a loser who gets beat by over 7 million votes, and instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threat of political violence, Biden campaign spokesman James Singer said in a statement. I'm sure Trump is grateful to Biden for the advice on how to win the campaign, but Donald Trump wasn't threatening political violence. He was talking about auto workers being hurt by foreign competition. And so what happened? Within hours of the leftist media, all uniformly, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, Trump calls for bloodbath. They got totally roasted. Totally exposed as total frauds, and it just blew up. It just blew up. Trump won again, okay? Trump won again. And it's just a matter of him just, he just sets them up and reels them in because they don't really want to cover Trump, but he does his stuff to make them cover him, okay? And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that's why he's going to win. He's going to win, and we'll talk more about that throughout the show, okay? So then, you know that one of the cases pending with SCOTUS, is Supreme Court, is this thing about whether Trump has presidential immunity, whether some of the things that happened, because he was still president on January 6th, whether those things are covered under presidential immunity. It was good to see Ohio, Alaska, and Wyoming attorney generals weigh in on this and tell the Supreme Court that they need to establish some legal limits on this. Three state attorney generals want the U.S. Supreme Court to establish a legal test for the limits of presidential immunity. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost, Alaska Attorney General Craig Taylor, and Wyoming Attorney General Bridget Hill filed an amicus brief in former President Trump's immunity appeal on federal criminal charges. They believe setting a test is necessary because of the possibility of future criminal and civil prosecution. The bottom line here is the left wants to get Trump, so they're willing to put themselves in jeopardy, just like Harry Reid did. Remember when Harry Reid changed the vote in the Senate to confirm justices to 51? And Mitch McConnell said, you'll live to regret this, and now that's why we have the Supreme Court? Well, this is the same deal. They're willing to say Trump doesn't have presidential immunity after he's president, and we're going to prosecute him. Well, guess what's going to happen to Joe Biden? Guess what's going to happen to Barack Obama? Guess what's going to happen to anybody else that's president in the future if the Supreme Court doesn't reject this? These attorney generals are saying don't reject it completely. They believe setting a test is necessary because of the possibility of future criminal and civil prosecutions. Defining the extent of presidential immunity now, the brief says, would establish constitutional guardrails to guide future legal proceedings. A line of normal behavior has been crossed. The special counsel actually boasts in his own brief that a president has never before been criminally prosecuted, Yost said in a news release. In the same way that impeachment has apparently been normalized, it seems likely that we will see future chaos and future cases in which a prosecutor charges a chief magistrate. Yost said the framers of the Constitution understood that a president cannot fulfill the oath of office without reasonable immunity from criminal charges. That immunity is very broad, but not unlimited, and the nation needs clear and steady-handed guidance from the highest courts. In the brief, they propose two legal tests. One, how closely an alleged criminal act is linked to the president's core powers under Article 2 of the Constitution. This test should examine the relationship between the action and the president's official responsibilities. The closer an action relates to a core presidential power, the stronger the case for immunity. Two, whether the urgency of the situation warranted the president's actions. The brief argues that the times of heightened urgency, such as war, call for a greater degree of immunity for the president. So it will be interesting to see whether they actually do this, whether the Supreme Court doesn't just reject the immunity case and leave things the way they are, but sets some, a test for where immunity starts and stops. Interesting thing, and something you should watch, because it affects all of us, right? It affects, how a president will act. If they can't talk to Peter Navarro and their other advisors with immunity and make decisions and discuss ideas that some people may think are should not be discussed, they won't be able to act as president. And we will all be worse off. Okay? We will be worse off. All right. A couple more stories here before we get to the break. The hearings went forward this week on the impeachment of Biden, and they brought in Tony Bobulinski, and I put out my text to you guys saying Hunter Biden didn't show, but Tony Bobulinski put on a show. And this is a guy who has really been a patriot. He was a partner with the Bidens, and Hunter and Joe and Jim Biden, the whole Biden crime family, and they screwed him, but they also cheated and did things wrong. And the press from the beginning, when before the 2020 election, Bobulinski came out, none of the left-wing media propaganda would cover him. He was invisible to voters. And if they heard what he said, Biden would have never been president. But that was the point, wasn't it? So he got to say his piece in public this week. The House Committee on Oversight and Accountability held a hearing today titled Influence Peddling, Examining Joe Biden's Abuse of Public Office. At today's hearing, Biden family business associates Tony Bobulinski and Jason Glanis testified under oath Joe Biden knew about, participated in, and enabled his family's corrupt influence peddling schemes. To date, the Oversight Committee has uncovered evidence showing the Bidens and their associates created over 20 shell companies and raked in over $24 million from China and other foreign countries from 2014 to 2019. Nine members of the Biden family participated or benefited from the business schemes, and Joe Biden closed business deals by attending meetings, speaking on speakerphone, and dining with his son's foreign business associates. Basically, Biden family business associates Bobulinski and Glanis testified under oath that Joe Biden actively participated in his family corrupt business dealings and acted as the closer for deals with Chinese and Russian entities. And you can read the article to get more depth in what Bobulinski said, because they do a nice summary. But the bottom line is, the evidence is overwhelming. Joe Biden's a criminal, and he should be impeached. But politically, that doesn't work right now, right? So they keep the process is the punishment. They keep building the case against Joe Biden. And while the left-wing media made fools of themselves, OAC, hysterical video, OAC is asking Bobulinski, what crimes did Joe Biden commit that you witnessed? He said he did racketeering. She said, that's not a crime. and they just blew her up. She's a moron. Okay, she's a tool, she's a mouthpiece for the left, and she got exposed. So there was a lot of that going on. Okay, so now, the last thing I want to close with was this whole thing about the border, and this is the issue. Illegal immigration is the issue, okay, in this election. And so the Supreme Court gave a green light to Texas that allowed state police to arrest migrants. And we all said, yay. Okay? And this was on the Supreme Court on Tuesday, allowed a Texas law to take effect that enabled Texas state law enforcement to arrest people they suspect of illegally entering the United States from Mexico. Okay? The bill signed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the far-reaching statute makes illegal immigration a state crime, enabling state and local law enforcement the authority to arrest undocumented migrants who could then face deportation or jail time. So they appealed that. And the appeal, a court ruled it was not legal, okay? And then the appeals court said, oh, it was, and that was on Tuesday. By Wednesday morning, another court stayed it. Another court said, oh, never mind what happened last night. You can't arrest these people again. So here's the question. If the border's actually closed, why are they fighting this? Why would... If they want to close the border, if Biden, who lies to your face, and Mayorkas and all the rest of them who lie to your face and say, the border's closed, or we want to close the border, we just can't close the border, why would you fight this? Why would you fight this? And the answer is because they're lying to you, because they're not serious, okay? And so here's a video that I think you're going to see a lot come election time, and just put it in your mind. This is video from the border of illegals forcing their way in against the National Guard. Nope. The we did. Hold on one second. Get the right video. Here we go. Now, you can see there's a secondary fence there, okay? But from what I understand, they eventually did get in. And my question is, you're the National Guard. You have guns. Why didn't you fire in the air? Why didn't you fire on the ground? Why didn't you say, get back or we'll shoot? You know why? Because we're not serious. We're not serious. This is intentional, right? The invasion is a plan. It's intentional. And you need to look no further than this to understand. 962% increase in missed deportation filings since 2020. Okay, what does this mean? Around 200,000 illegal aliens have avoided deportation because the Biden government failed to file the paperwork associated with their court dates and subsequent removals, with a stark 962% rise in 2023 since the Trump administration's final year in office in 2020. According to a new report from the Nonpartisan Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, the Biden Department of Homeland Security failed to file the required notice to appear paperwork before their court dates, resulting in cases being thrown out. It's the what is the notice to appear? It's the official document that states removal proceedings against an illegal alien, requiring them to appear in the immigration court, usually years after they're apprehended, but they have to have this piece of paper, or you can't throw them out. The numbers, according to the track report under Biden, the total missed filings weren't filed, 33,802 in 2021, 79,592 in 2022, 68,869 in 2023. For perspective, in President Trump's final year in office, there were only 6,482 missed filings. It's not an accident. It's intentional. Our government, the people who've stolen our government, are trying to overthrow the United States. And this is one of their tactics. And we have to stop them. Okay? We'll talk more about that when we get back with the second part of the show. I thank you for watching the first half. We'll be back in a minute. You've been watching the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. And my name is Tom Zawistowski.
The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312. When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, you know, download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, you know, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, that to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, you know, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And, you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you really like, and, you know, you see an article, geez, I've heard this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People Convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
All right. And we're back for the second half of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the podcast. I know it's covering a lot of different things, but basically, you know, in Ohio, we stopped the deep state from basically trying to build a Senate, a firewall in the Senate against Trump. And while we were doing that, they're trying to build a firewall against Trump in the House. Okay. And so they're trying to basically turn the House over to the Democrats. I said, well, geez, you know, what does it matter? Because they're getting everything they want anyway, which is true. But, you know, some of you may disagree. If you do, let me know. Write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. And tell me what you think, okay? Especially about the thing about Social Security. Go read that article, all right? I think it's important. And then talk to your congressman about that. You know, what do you think they should do? So we're going to get on with the rest of the program and talk a little bit about some things that are more national and international, all that. This is an important story that didn't get a lot of coverage, as much as I think it should have. Report. Ongoing terrorist shootout at Maso Concert Hall leaves at least 100 casualties. Now, this, let's see here. This was on Friday, March 22nd. Russian state media, as well as the Wall Street Journal's regional correspondent, is reporting at least 40 people killed and over 100 wounded and injured in the unfolding major terror attack at Moscow's largest concert hall. Initial videos have emerged showing, and I think I've got a, yeah, you can see the picture there on this cover of it burning, okay, the concert hall is burning, shows that the, appears that the attackers in the combat fatigues with assault rifles going around the mall part of the venue, which is attached to the concert hall, and shooting randomly. There are reports from RT of follow-up blasts happening even amid a huge security, police, and emergency response. And since then, Chechen rebels, or no, excuse me, ISIS has claimed responsibility, saying it was an ISIS attack. Now, that's, you know, that's interesting because we pretty much thought we had ISIS wiped out. So how could they get into Moscow with that much weaponry and things? But here's another really curious thing that happened, okay? A mere days before this, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow released the following alert, okay, telling U.S. nationals still in the country to avoid large gatherings and public venues. It's, this is, you can see it on your screen, security alert, avoid large gatherings over the next 48 hours. The embassy is monitoring reports that extremists have imminent plans to target large gatherings in Moscow to include concerts, and U.S. citizens should be advised to avoid large gatherings over the next 48 hours. Wow. Okay. Now, that's what happens is if you're an American citizen in any foreign country, you register with the embassy there, and then they will send you text messages, emails, whatever, when there's an alert, like in Haiti, you know, Americans came to the U.S. Embassy because of what's going on there. But I guarantee you that the Russians monitor that. And so here's this alert, and they still get away with it? Boy, that says something really bad about the Russian security apparatus. And so, you know, obviously people were thinking, were these Ukrainians? And Putin said, if this was Ukraine, you know, we're gonna blow up Kiev, okay? But so far they're saying it's ISIS, but I'd like to hear more about that. Again, it doesn't take much to trigger something stupid like a world war. So when something like that happens, your antenna gotta go up. You gotta pay attention because things could move rapidly. Okay? I don't think anything's gonna happen that would involve us over that, but you still need to be aware, okay? Trump was talking about the auto industry, and in that article, you know, what he wasn't talking about is it really involves the EVs, the electric vehicles that are being going to be made in Mexico and then imported here in the U.S. What the Bidens have done, and why Trump keeps saying the UAW, that they're betraying their workers, because China is got the lithium to build the batteries, and they're paying for Mexico to build car manufacturing plants with the idea that we're going to make these electric vehicles in Mexico. Joe Biden's EPA just said that by 2037, two-thirds of all cars have to be electric vehicles. And geez, it just so happens that China's making them in Mexico and they want to bring them across the border. And that's why Trump says it will be a bloodbath for the UAW and American car manufacturers, because the fix is in and they're going to be targeted. Okay? Totally true. And he's going to stop it. And we need to stop it. And here's why you need to stop it. This is an important story. Chinese electric vehicles will spy on you, obviously. They're spy machines, folks. The Chinese Communist Party will use electric vehicles as yet another means of espionage and data harvesting, with UK government officials stressing the rush to net zero carbon emissions and EV dominance will lock in China's gains. The cars are embedded with technology that can track locations, produce audio and video recordings, and even remotely interfere with vehicles. In other words, they're saying that China could just shut off your car if we went to war with China. They could ram your car into police cars. They could use your car for terrorist attacks. In May, the National Pulse detailed how every EV purchase aids the Chinese Communist Party, with U.S. President Joe Biden currently demanding that two-thirds of all vehicles sold in the United States by 2032 are electric. Now members of the UK Parliament appear to be heeding that warning, highlighting the risk of the government providing the CCP with control of critical infrastructure in UK already penetrated by the Chinese Communist Party. It is manufactured in a country like China. How certain can you be that it won't be a vehicle for collecting intel and data, said a senior U.S. government official, adding, if you have an electric vehicle manufactured by countries who are already using technology to spy on you, why would they not do the same with that? China dominates the EV market and is not afraid of flexing its muscles to remind the West of its position. It refines the vast majority of materials and resources necessary to build EV batteries, including lithium, manganese, cobalt, and graphite. So under the category of how stupid can you be, and also in the category of how much does China own the U.S. government, this is what's happening, right? They're literally at war. That's why the flag is hanging upside down. We're at war with China, and our government is part of the war against us. I prove it every week, folks. I prove it every week. Okay, this came out this week because everybody's been talking about inflation. So immigration is a huge issue, and so is inflation. Well, the Fed comes out this week and projects higher interest rates and higher inflation for a longer period of time, meaning they've failed. They have failed to bring down inflation by raising the interest rates to try to cool the economy, okay? For all that investors flip-flopped and flipped again in the past 6 months of speculation over future interest rates, the Federal Reserve has remained remarkably consistent. In a total confirmation of its previous projections from the end of 2023, the first summary of economic projections from the central bank in 2024 likewise predicts just 3 cuts to the federal funds rate this year, with the Fed holding rates at the 23-year high of 5.25 to 5.5% range. But even though the Fed still projects higher interest rates for longer, it made one critical modification to its projections, even higher inflation for longer. Okay, this is going to hurt Biden. This is going to hurt the left. So you know what's going to happen? They said, oh, there's going to be 3 more rate cuts this year. Well, guess when those are going to happen? They're going to happen probably in, July, September, October, leading up to the election, right? This is, again, how corrupt are you? We're so corrupt that the people who are in charge of our monetary supply want to play politics with it. Okay? That's pretty corrupt. They all should be fired when Trump becomes president. All of them. Okay? U.S. sues Apple over smartphone monopoly. Okay? So that's the next one here. That's pretty interesting. And I don't know about you, but from my standpoint, I thought, really? What have you been waiting for? U.S. sues Apple over smartphone monopoly. The Justice Department filed suit against Apple on Thursday, accusing it of monopolizing the smartphone market. Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies violate the antitrust laws, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland said in a statement. If left unchanged, Apple will only continue to strengthen its smartphone monopoly. So now let me get this straight, Merrick Garland. You know, nothing's changed with Apple for like 15 years. Back when Obama was president, you guys were threatening this. And now, 3 years into the Biden administration, you're suddenly going to sue Apple for being an illegal monopoly and breaking antitrust laws? Yeah, where were you before? Geez, maybe you want to get Apple to help censor MAGA and Trump and the election, and this is a good way to do it, huh? Maybe? Here's what the story is, what this is about. The civil suit, joined by 15 states and the District of Columbia, charges Apple with using its dominance in the smartphone ecosystem to get more money from consumers, developers, content creators, artists, publishers, and small businesses and merchants. The lawsuit said it was focused on freeing smartphone markets from Apple's anti-competitive and exclusionary conduct and restoring competition to lower smartphone prices for consumers, reducing fees for developers, and preserving innovation for the future. Apple repeatedly chooses to make its products worse for consumers to prevent competition from emerging. The case centers around Apple store, which sets strict conditions on developers seeking to reach iPhone users who number around 136 million in the United States. Okay? So, yeah, I got news for you. You know, Apple has a monopoly. They always have, and they shouldn't have. They should have never let them get this far. So why are they acting now? I don't think it's because it's, you know, they finally woke up and said, geez, you know, you're hurting these developers and artists with your policies. Apple argues, and they have always argued, that the fact that we control the whole ecosystem is why our damn phones work better than Android phones. And if you have an Apple phone, you probably believe that. If you have an Android phone, you don't believe that. But they basically claim, we're not hurting our customers, we're helping them. Bottom line is, careful, I think it's all political. I don't think it's about their antitrust at all. I think it's about censorship. You'll love this story. Passing the bar exam is no longer required for law licenses in Washington State because of race equity concerns, don't you know? This is from the Blaze Media, and it's a good story. The Supreme Court of Washington State has ruled that passing the bar exam will no longer be necessary for law licensure to become a lawyer, since such a requirement disproportionately and unnecessarily blocks historically marginalized groups from entering the practice of law. You got that right. Law is racist, according to the Washington State Supreme Court. After 3.5 years, the Washington Supreme Court created the Washington Bar Licensure Task Force, which it ordered to assess the efficacy of the Washington State Bar Licensure requirements and to suggest possible alternatives to them. Last fall, the task force settled on a list of recommendations, which were then released to the public for comment. On Friday, the court issued its decision on the matter, taking into account of the opinions of the task force and the public. Yeah, I bet they took in the public opinions. I'm sure they did. In its ruling, the court said that offering law students a bar exam is still necessary, but insisted that the current uniform bar exam is racially biased. It is test-infused with racism and classism, the ruling stated, prompting a race equity concerns in those wishing to advance the cause of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Who wants to advance that? Communists do, because the diversity, equity, and inclusion is about reverse racism. It's about white racism. Who wants to, what's racist here, guys? Yeah, what's racist is what you're doing. The ruling even used a tortured metaphor that compared the legal profession in the state to a dam that was left people of color thirsty for more access to legal services. To reduce barriers to entry into the legal profession without compromising the public trust in the system. yeah, we're not going to compromise this at all by saying you don't need to pass the bar to be a lawyer. The court authorized two exponential ways. What the hell does exponential mean? Ways to earning a law license without having to pass the bar. One way involves law school graduates and upper-level students apprenticing under the supervision of attorneys for 6 months. And another requires law school students to complete 500 hours of hands-on practical work as well as 12 other skilled credits. What the hell does that even mean? Okay. And, oh, by the way, this follows Oregon, the other woke joke of a state that just had to repeal its own law where you could take any drug you wanted and it wasn't illegal until they saw it was killing people, destroying their economy, etc. And they had to reverse themselves, but you can't fix stupid, can you? Washington State, they're stupid. Get the hell out if you're in Washington State, because a world of hurt's coming to you from these morons. Okay, this is a big story that didn't get enough coverage, okay? And I want to put it in context. President Trump, as you know, they're threatening this Letitia James in New York under this completely bogus, you know, case that the Trump, who borrowed money and paid it back, did nothing wrong, somehow lied, even though the lender said he didn't lie, and somehow that hurt the state, and now he's guilty in this bogus court with the clown show judge, right? The guy looks like a clown, but put a nose on him, okay? And so what do? They want him to pay like $500 million, $454 million in a bond to make sure he can appeal the case. Because they don't want him to appeal the case because it's going to get overturned. So they're threatening to seize Trump Tower, right? And the golf course that he owns there, which Frank Lutz, who I don't trust as far as I can throw the fat little guy, okay, was on MSNBC saying, if Letitia James takes Trump Tower, Donald Trump is without doubt going to be made president of the United States, no matter what they do, okay? So that shows you, you can't fix stupid, right? So here's the bottom line. Trump announced yesterday, I think it's Friday, that he had $500 million in cash, that he could pay the bond, but he doesn't think he should have to. Okay? So that's got them all freaking out because they're saying to the court, we shouldn't have to put up our own cash. The way this usually works is you go to a bonding company, okay? There's companies that do this for big corporations and stuff like that, and they won't do it because they're afraid of retribution. So they're appealing to the court and saying, you got to reduce this because it's unreasonable. Even the bonding companies say it's unreasonable, okay? So they're kind of fighting that battle. But here's the point that you got to know. Man, Trump's just smarter than all of them. He's smarter than all of them. Look at what they've done. You think at what they've done to Trump, they threw against a George Bush, that he wouldn't have been destroyed? You think if they'd done it against Mitt Romney? You think if they'd done it against Ted Cruz or anyone else, that they would have destroyed him? Right? You can't, you know, I know it comes in dribs and drabs, so you kind of just take it as it comes, but you got to step back and say, Donald Trump is Superman. Donald Trump is unique with a capital U, okay? Because this guy has beat back everything they can throw at him. Everything. Unbelievable what this guy has done. And probably is going to be the greatest comeback story in U.S. history and save our country. Okay? So even with this outrageous $454 million bond, and he says, I have the cash to pay it, this drops. On Friday, Trump's Truth Social to go public following DWAC merger vote. Former President Donald Trump's social media company, Truth Social, will become a publicly traded company following shareholders' approval of a vote Friday to merge with Digital World Acquisition Group. Truth Social will become a publicly traded company as early as next week, according to Axios. Billions of dollars could be added to Trump's net worth as a result, reportedly as much as $3.5 billion. Donald Trump owns the majority of Truth Social, and his stake at the when they go public could be worth $3.5 billion. DWAC is described as a special purpose acquisition company that specializes in taking private businesses public while not conducting an initial public ask. When Trump Media and Technology Group was to merge with Digital World Acquisition, it will be renamed Trump Media and Technology Group and will trade under the stock ticker DJT. Donald J. Trump, in your face, New York. In your face, Wall Street. They're going to trade under the ticker symbol DJT. Okay? Now, and it just gets better. It just gets better. So guess what? Why is it going to be a big hit? Because when Donald Trump is president, he's going to use Truth Social as his main way of communicating. What do you think that's going to do to Truth Social? It's going to bring hundreds of millions of people to follow him. It's brilliant. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. Trump wins again. He kind of love it. Share that story. I'll link it in the podcast page, folks, because it's unbelievable. Okay? It's unbelievable. Celebrate that, man. I was loving it. I'm sure you didn't get that perspective from your regular news source, so please share it. This is another story that's kind of interesting to me. Tennessee Senate passes bill to end chemtrails. Now, many people in the Tea Party movement in all the years I've been involved have brought this topic up. And we used to have a guy, the top radio guy in Cleveland market was a guy named Trevisano, Mike Trevisano. And this chemtrail thing was a big thing for him. He felt all along that the government was spraying us with chemicals to help control us. And there's been studies and there's lots of controversy and blah, blah, blah. But I think this is a significant step. It seems the Tennessee State Senate has made headlines by passing a bill that appears to target chemtrails, suggesting a move towards clearer air. But as usual, there's more beneath the surface. Let's dive into what this legislative action really means for cleaning up our skies. This Tennessee conservative activist, Robbie Starbuck, shared this about the new law. The Tennessee State Senate passed a bill today that would ban the spray of chemicals for geoengineering in our skies. Here are some of the key language. The bill would ban the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of the state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight. This is fantastic for Tennessee. 24 senators voted in favor, 6 opposed. The rest of the bill is in the article that I'll link to. Now we wait for the House to vote on it, but I urge every House rep in Tennessee to support this bill. Our federal government has a dark history of spraying and poisoning citizens with toxins that they have never consented to coming into contact with. Just look at what they did in St. Louis during the Cold War. The suffering it caused was horrific. We can't risk the federal government spraying anything on our citizens. Well, you can write to me at info at We the People Convention about what you think about chemtrails, but I'm going to ask, this will be the first ask of the show, if you're one of our members in Tennessee, call your House members and tell them to vote for it. Tell them to vote for it. And then call your governor and say, sign it. It's, again, states' rights versus federal rights. And the federal government would probably take this to the Supreme Court saying, you can't control the skies over Tennessee. Okay? But it's interesting that they thought it was important enough to do it in light of the tyranny that we're facing and the evidence, the overwhelming evidence, that this regime will do anything to defeat us, to steal our country, to turn it into a tyranny, right? Including spraying us with whatever. Who knows what they spray us with? Nerve agents? I don't know. I think it'd be a good idea to have laws in place to say you can't do that. This is also, you can't, once you go woke, you know, you just can't fix it. And this, again, is Washington, right? So they're not going to have lawyers get past the bar. So now the governor signs a bill requiring schools to teach LGBTQ plus history, starting in 2023, 2025. What the heck is that? There's a new curriculum coming to Washington's public schools starting in the 2025-26 school year. Senate Bill 5462, which Governor Jay Inslee signed into law this week, will mandate students to learn about the contributions of underrepresented groups in school, including those of LGBT plus community. What contributions? SB 462 was introduced in January and went through multiple committee meetings, public hearings, and revisions, more than a dozen, during the legislative session. Many residents may not have realized that the bill calls for because LGBTQ is not in the language of the bill. Now that the bill has been signed into law, it directs the state to create a curriculum that highlights the many contributions people of different races, ethnicities, and even sexual orientation have made. Geez, don't we have Black History Month? Don't we have American history? See, because here's the problem, folks. These people are Americans. They're, you know, their achievements should be part of American history. There shouldn't be LGBTQ history. There is no such thing as LGBTQ history. There shouldn't be anything as Black history. There isn't Black history. There's American history, and Blacks were a big part of it. But see, this is all about separating you. This is all about destroying the melting pot, destroying our unity, right, as a country. That's what the Marxists do. We talked about it ad nauseum. That's the plan. So anything we can do to divide you, so little Johnny and little Jane, you're going to have to sit in a stupid classroom where you don't even know what LGBTQ means and have this woke joke teacher with purple hair try to convince you that that's more important than anything white straight people did. Right? That's the fight we're in. That's what we got to win the fight, kids, because they're not stopping, are they? And Washington and Oregon, man, whew, what are you folks doing there? So it's good to see, I'm happy to see, DEI dies in another red state, okay? Alabama has joined the growing list of red states taking aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion. On Wednesday, Governor Kay Ivey signed legislation that bars DEI in public entities such as schools, universities, and state agencies. My administration has and will continue to value Alabama's rich diversity. However, I refuse to allow a few bad actors on college campuses or wherever else for that matter to go under the acronym of DEI using taxpayer funds to push their liberal political movement counter to what the majority of Alabamans believe, Ivy said in a statement. This legislation prohibits local public school boards and universities from maintaining an office or department that promotes DEI. It also bars students, employees, and contractors from being required to attend any DEI training, orientation, or coursework that advocates or requires assent to a diverse concept. Division, right? A diverse concept. The legislation outlines eight divisive concepts, including discussions around conscious or subconscious racism and sexism, and whether a meritocracy or traits such as hard work, ethic, or are racist or sexist that are now prohibited. It also empowers state agencies, including local boards of education and public universities, to discipline or terminate the employees of any their employment of any employer contractor who knowingly violates this act. This new law means Alabama joins Florida, Utah, and Oklahoma, among others, that also have DEI restrictions in place. The law, which will take October 1st, is the last sentence, but not insignificant, also mandates that public universities designate bathrooms based on biological sex. Hear, hear. Another ask. Folks in Alabama, call the governor. Call your senator and congressman, house members, and say, that a boy. Good job. This is what we need. The rest of you need to be calling for your state. I mean, there's only a handful of states that have outlawed this, right? You've got to call for them to take action. And I told you earlier in the program when I was talking about what happened in Portage County in the Blue 22 in Ohio, who the Democrats bribed to take over the whole House speakership and stop our agenda. The last thing they stopped was right before our election, a bill called SB 83, which did exactly what Alabama did. Got rid of DEI officers, got rid of all that crap in Ohio, and the Dems stopped it. And that's why we in Portage County and out of 17 of those Blue 22 were running, we defeated 8 of them. Not enough, but the unions, Democrats, gave them like $3 million to help those 17. And because of your donations to the Freedom for All PAC, the Freedom for All PAC and the Ohio Citizens PAC, we helped defeat not all 8. We didn't play in all 8. We didn't have enough money, but we played in like 5 of those and won them. But this is what it's about, is getting DEI thrown out of our education system because it's a cancer brought here by China and the left. Okay, so let me finish up. You know, with this story too, Texas pulls $8.58 billion from BlackRock in stunning blow to ESG movement. The state of Texas is terminating a massive $8.5 billion investment with trillion-dollar asset manager BlackRock over the state's determination that the firm is engaged in boycotting of energy companies. In the announcement first shared with Fox Business, Texas State Board of Education Chairman Aaron Kinsley said the so-called Texas Permanent School Funds had delivered a notice to BlackRock on Tuesday informing the New York City-based firm of the action. According to Kinsley, the move was made in accordance with the 2021 state law that seeks to distance the state and its large public purse from financial institutions boycotting oil and gas sector, which obviously Texas is a big part of. But it's about diversity, equity, inclusion, and ESG is like that. The Texas Permanent School Fund has a fiduciary duty to protect Texas schools by safeguarding the growing the approximate $1 billion in annual oil and gas royalties managed by Texas Governor Land Office, Kinsley said in a statement Tuesday. Terminating BlackRock's contract ensures PSF's full compliance with Texas law. BlackRock's dominant and persistent leadership in the ESG movement immeasurably damages our state's oil and gas economy and the very companies that generate revenues for our PSF. Texas and PSF have worked hard to grow this fund to build Texas schools, he continues. BlackRock's deconstructive approach toward the energy companies that this state and our world depend on is incompatible with our fiduciary duty to Texas. The diversity represents, the disinvestment represents a large share of the $53 billion Texas PSF a fund created in the 19th century to support the state's public schools. The transaction, the action offers as by far the largest divestment of its kind since Republican-led states began terminating their financial ties to BlackRock and other financial institutions over their pursuit of so-called environmental, social, and governance standards. BlackRock immediately started begging them not to do it. Okay? This is how you fight back. You don't just say, oh, go ahead, attack our oil and gas companies because of some bogus climate nonsense, okay? And, oh, by the way, completely destroy your fiduciary duty to your investors in BlackRock, where you're supposed to get them the best return on investment you can get, but you're making companies you invest in do things that hurt their bottom line with this whole climate nonsense. Big win. BlackRock is under a lawsuit from its shareholders. Other firms on Wall Street, I reported recently, have gotten out of ESG. Things are starting to work in our way, folks. Okay? Just understand. I know the propaganda is always there to convince you, we're always losing. We're always losing. When you watch this show, I'm sure you're surprised at how many wins we're getting. We won big in Portage County. We won big in Ohio. Trump won big with Truth Social. Okay? We're winning a lot too. You never hear that. But the whole trans thing is ebbing, folks. They're losing. They reached peak and now they're going away. ESG, it's ebbing. It's going away. We fought it back. It's a freaking lie, right? Critical race theory, it's all a lie. Okay, and so other than woke places like Oregon and Washington, who will what? Suffer. They will, just like Oregon, pass that stupid law about drug use, which could be legal anyway. It killed them, literally killed people and hurt them economically and drove people and businesses out of their state. Same is happening in New York. You take Trump's property, see what happens in New York. I saw a survey this week. 50% of residents of New York dream of moving out of New York. How's that for your future? You talk about, you know, suicide? That's what communism is. It's a murder-suicide. First they kill us who are fighting them, and then they kill themselves with their policies by starving people to death. That's why we're fighting for our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. That's why that flag is upside down. That's why you watch this podcast. Let me close with this because I thought this was also great. Trump sues ABC News and host George Stephanopoulos for defamation. Former President Donald Trump filed a lawsuit on Monday against the American Broadcast Corporation and ABC News host George Stephanopoulos, accusing them of defamation. The complaint alleges that Mr. Stephanopoulos defamed President Trump on March 10th during an episode of This Week with George Stephanopoulos, when he repeatedly stated during the broadcast that a jury had found President Trump liable for the rape of writer Jean Carroll, despite being aware of the truth. These statements were and remain false and were made by defendant Stephanopoulos with actual malice or with a reckless disregard for the truth, given that defendant Stephanopoulos knows that these statements are patently and demonstrably false, the complaint reads. President Trump's complaint alleges that Mr. Stephanopoulos was aware that the jury did not find the former president liable for rape, yet still falsely stated otherwise. Mr. Stephanopoulos made these alleged defamatory statements within the scope and course of employment or contractual relationship with ABC News and with intent to harm President Trump. And this comes from an interview he did with Republican Nancy Mace, who is a rape victim, and they kept trying to get her to denounce Trump because supposedly he was found guilty of rape, which he wasn't. And Nancy Mace kept saying, you're trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I won't stand for it. So Stephanopoulos stupidly kept saying the jury found Trump guilty of rape. And he didn't. They're going to lose this. Trump is going to win huge amounts of money here. Okay? Let's see. He said the jury did not find President liable for rape. And that's the thing, liable for rape. Not only did he not rape her, they didn't say that he was liable for that either in this other bogus case. So Trump is going to win again. Against who? Fake news. Who does what? Attacks him and us. That's how you fight back. Kudos. Kudos to President Trump as attorneys. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. And we're going to win just like we've been winning. I want to thank all of you who gave generously to our 2024 Victory Fund since we started it in January. The fight continues. We need you to fund our fight. This ain't even close to being over. We have all kinds of needs to give to other groups that are fighting in other states to help stop the election fraud, right? We got to fix that. We're trying to help with Project 2025. We're trying to help the RNC now. The RNC should be on your radar. What are they doing in your state? I told you last week about them suing in Michigan. They're now suing in Nevada to try to clean up the voter rolls. You need to support them if you're in Nevada. See how you can help the RNC, okay? But by your donating to the 2024 Victory Fund, by going to freedomforallpac.org, you're helping us do more to change the game, to win, to defeat the Marxist left, to elect President Trump, elect MAGA Senate candidates and senators like Bernie Moreno, right? Elect MAGA congressional candidates like Taylor in Ohio 2nd and Derek Marin in the Ohio 9th and others, okay? That's why you donate. We're not a huge organization, but I'll tell you right now, we beat back big money this week because we're simply smarter, better, more organized, and we have the trust of our members. And we act in defense of individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. That's why you watch this podcast. That's why you share this podcast. That's why we do this podcast. So please tell other people about the podcast. Forward the link that'll come out on Saturday and say, watch this. And we have our new chapters video player, which allows you to just skip to stories that you're interested in. Saves you a lot of time. If you have questions or comments, and we read them all, write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. This is your podcast. We produce it. I deliver it. But the content, much of it comes from you. We don't have this giant staff to go research things. We get this information and we pass it on to you because our members participate in this, okay? Download our phone app. Go to your Apple Store or your Google Play Store and download the We the People Convention phone app. It's WTPC space convention is the way it's listed. WTPC space convention. Download it. Why? I can send you notifications on our phone app that don't cost us anything. And it can't be interfered with by like the texting companies and the email companies. Okay. Make sure you sign up for emails and text messages at wethepeopleconvention.org, right on the front page, because it still works, even though it's working less and less. The phone app's a better answer. I just want to thank all of you who were part of the victories in Ohio this week. I tried to make that known through the press releases I made, but I'm so proud of you. We took a stand in Ohio. We defended the MAGA, Make America First Again, and first, you know, Make America First agenda. That's, you know, that's the bottom line. We defended President Trump to give him the chance to do the things we need him to do starting this time next year, folks. It's coming like a freight train. So continue to support Project2025.org for Heritage. Continue to be active in your elections all the way down. Sheriffs, county commissioners, I don't care, mayors, city council, state house, and Senate. We need them to be MAGA so that when Trump says we need to do X, they will do X. If we're going to round up 10 million illegals and deport them, you're going to need the local sheriffs to identify them. You're going to need city council not to interfere. It's about us. And you're doing that. And I wanted to show you in this podcast that we're doing that and we're winning when you do that, to encourage all of you, to encourage all of you that you do matter. The little things you do, do matter. So it's all about, and I talk about this all the time, you personally getting up every day saying, thank you, God, for this day. I promise to do everything I can to work for good. And then you see opportunities to move us towards individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity, and stop tyranny in your own life. Whether you call a radio show, whether you just tell someone at the post office, hey, you know, don't believe these lies. When you, you know, you do things to elect local people who are going to help us. You matter. I know that. That's what keeps me going, because it's invisible. No one sees what I see. I get input. I mean, I think Charlie Kirk does, and maybe Jenny Beth Martin, but I mean, very few people get the inputs from so many places that show me that you're fighting every day in every way. That gives me hope. That gives me belief that we can do things that the media and the experts don't think we can do, because they don't know you. They don't talk to you or with you. They don't respond to your emails. They don't know what they're doing. We do. That's why we win. Okay? So I hope you have a good week. I hope you do some fun things. I hope you're watching the NCAA basketball tournament, because it's great to see these young men, you know, just achieve beyond what they think they can do. Baseball season's coming. I'm looking forward to that. Takes my mind off of things, gives me a break. The weather's starting to come. It's first day of spring. Happy spring. Okay? Lots of good things. There's lots of bad. You got to have a balance. So have a good week. Okay? Take care of your health. If you're not feeling well, I hope this week you improve. But God willing, we'll both be back next week. And you can watch the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zalastowski. I thank you for joining us. God bless you, and God bless America. Proudly we hail at the twilight.